Welcome to the Spirit School of Ministry podcast, where we discuss discipleship in your everyday life. Hey everyone, David here. To my left is Jeremiah Tasco, one of our great teachers at Spirit School of Ministry. And over there, across the table from me, is Pastor Bob Wilk, Prophet Pastor Bob Wilk.
Let's just go with Bob for a while.
My friends both call me Bob. Minute.
Yes.
I make you Pastor JT. Oh, no.
Okay. It's on video now.
It's on video. That's it's official.
It's done. Yeah.
It's official. Ordination
we'll write you
over.
We'll write you a certificate later.
Mailed you your certificate. Yeah.
That'll be $49.99.
I emailed it to you. You didn't get it? Yeah.
Nice. Well, you know what? We are all alive.
Here we are.
At least physically. And so today we're going to talk about abundant life. And that is something that Jesus touched on in John chapter 10. And it's something that caught my eye. I've been, you know, thinking about it a little bit and praying about it. And we've been thinking about it for a couple weeks now. Yeah. And we wanted to explore what this idea is because Jesus chose his words carefully. He's using this idea of super abundant eternal life. If you look at the Greek words. And you go, okay, that's a mouthful, you know, and is that something I'm experiencing, you know? And that's, I wanted to sort of just make it personal for us is like, you know, we get this promise that Jesus said the thief, you know, the legalistic teacher, the devil-inspired deceiver, whatever you want to talk about, the hireling in the context of John 10. There's people that come and they really steal life from you. Or there's teachings that come and they steal life from you. Or there's false messiahs that come that steal your life. Or maybe there's mindsets that we adopt as a result.
We steal our own life.
And I've guzzled down so much garbage.
Guzzled.
And just so much garbage of just, you know, man, you got to really sweat it out and stress and white knuckle it. And, you know, there's fear, there's measuring up, there's failure, you know, if we internalize the wrong teachings, it's going to steal our life, you know. But I just wanted to kind of put it on the table for us to bat it around a little bit. Like, where is Jesus coming from when he's talking about this? And how can it speak to us today? You know, like, because when I hear this, I actually receive hope when Jesus says, I came that you have abundant life. And I go, oh. All right. You know, I'm glad somebody came for that purpose because most people are coming so that they can have the abundant life, you know, not to give me, you know, an abundant life.
Right. Maybe take part of your abundant life.
Yeah.
That's a whole different story.
Yeah. So I don't know. Do any of you guys have anything that's just striking you about these thoughts or anything that maybe you've found to tap into the abundant life?
No.
None. None.
I'm going to turn to pastor. No.
Maybe
now that we've ordained you.
Maybe we can start here. When I heard of the topic, you know, as we do many times in our walk with the Lord, it's like, okay, I have a pretty good idea what abundant life is. I've probably taught about it. I've probably shared about it, but let me just look it up. Let me just look it up today, right? Yeah. I'm a student. At the end of the day, I'm a disciple of Christ. And so let me go back to what he said about this to make sure I'm not turning it into something that is my own rendition. Abundance, by definition, is an overflowing quality or ample sufficiency. And another way to look at it is that it's enough for yourself and others. So abundance has an emphasis on giving. When we talk about abundant life, right, Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and life more abundantly. So he came that we might have life. What's he talking about there? He's talking about a new life, right? The new life in Christ through the new spirit. And then he's saying, and life more abundantly. So not just the new life that is like just ending at salvation. He's saying beyond your salvation, I have an abundance for you. I have more life to add to you in this life and in eternity. Right, so he's talking about it full picture, from the new life in Christ as a new creation when you receive him, and then abundant life as you navigate your regular life, step into eternal life with him, and that's a life that is never ending.
Yeah, awesome, man.
Yeah. Quick definition.
Cool.
Yeah, I think the first thing that hits me is the context of the scripture too, and then you know he's. Revealing himself as that good shepherd.
Right.
And, you know, the shepherd provides everything or leads you to a place where things are provided for you. And I think what he's when we talk about abundant life, we're talking about him.
Right.
And so he's saying, I'm the life, yeah. right? I'm the way, the truth, the life. And he's like, come to me and I'm giving you everything. I'm supplying for you everything you need.
Right.
And by the way, he's not force feeding you, right? So it's like, it's like the, you know, little lambs, you know, on the, you know, brings them to a pasture. It's like, you know, like the shepherds not out there stuffing it in their face. He may have to do that when a little baby lamb right. putting milk in them or something. Right. I don't know how that works. I'm from, you know, the city.
You're not a farmer?
I'm not a farmer. We get some of our friends here that do that stuff. But the reality is that he's actually making this distinction between, you know, the life we think we know normally
right.
and the life he's ready to provide and has provided. And also, you know, like you said, the warning, like you mentioned earlier, that there's things in this life that want to steal that from, want to take it from you if possible. Right. And he's like, I'm coming to give. And so this is really gets down to a really fundamental component of God.
Right.
And that is, he's a giver.
Yes.
He's not a taker.
Right.
And I think a lot of people have an idea about God that he's a taker and not a giver. And that's, you know, and so you get into a warped kind of Christianity, you know, because, you know, it's all works based and servant based and, you know, which we know we're serving.
He gives an order to take away.
Yeah.
yeah. That's what he does.
I've given you all of this, take it away. Right. You had it, now it's gone. But yeah, I think it's a revelation actually of him and which, you know, that's the Bible, but I think it's such a, it's a beautiful revelation of him actually. You know, it's like, he's like saying, hey, this is what I do, like you were saying, and you know, when you go actually study it, which I haven't studied recently, this thing, but I remember it being this overflowing, over this just you know, I just look at like a tsunami wave of of abundance that he's providing, not just here's a little crumb,
right?
Yeah, that's a whole different kind of giver.
Well, that's kind of an interesting. That's, I mean, when you look at the abundance and then a lot of times you go, well, I don't feel like he's abundant because I don't have this or I don't have that. And we have to make sure we understand, like, first of all, I love the scripture that says they that come to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. You have to believe that he is. He is God. He, you know, owns all things. He is not poor. He's not stingy. He's not limited. He has ability beyond anything we could even begin to apprehend and grasp. He's rich in love. He's rich in mercy. He has an abundance of grace. Like he wants to overwhelm us. He says, you know, fear not, little children, it's your father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Like he wants to give us and give to us and give to us and give to us because we have a precious inheritance who is Christ.
Right.
Right. And so he has all these things, but then yet, David, I don't apparently have enough.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't have enough. And maybe that is supposed to draw you into his abundance.
Yeah.
And so if there's an area that I lack, you know, the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not lack. And so it's designed to draw me deeper into the dance, right? It's designed to draw me into the eternal life, the abundant Zoe life. It's eternal life. And Jesus defines it in chapter 17 of John. This is eternal life, that they know you, Abba, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you've sent. And so it sounds almost like a quick fix, a religious thing of like, you're going to find it in God. You need to have God make you happy. But there's no shortcut around that. And that's really our discipleship, is to be content in him, to do all things in Christ who strengthens us, to live as Christ, to die as gain. And it's not an automatic thing. It's not something that you're just like, well, how come God doesn't wave a magic wand and all of a sudden I have as rich a relationship with him as the Holy Spirit does? And you know what's weird is in this context, he even says something like this. He says, I think this is down a little farther. Oh yeah, look at this. Verse 14, John 10, 14. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me, just as the Father knows me. And I know the Father. Have you ever noticed that? You're going to know Jesus as well as Jesus knows the Father.
Yeah.
Oh boy. Right. And that's, he's like, my joy is going to be in you and your joy is going to be full because it's going to be the same joy I have in communion with the Father. And like I said, that is something that we are going to position ourselves for. And that's something that we're going to be in the pasture, like in the fold of the shepherd, allowing him to provide for us, like Pastor Bob said, like just receiving from him. And it's something that is going to be progressively more and more abundant, like you're saying, in the immortality, in the eternal state.
Right.
Abundant life isn't something that you get all of it right now in your experience. You get all of it right now in Christ, actually. But it's not something that you're like, oh, okay, I already, that's all there is. Hopefully this is going to be good enough for me. It's a progressive knowing. It's a progressive. Right. Gregory of Nyssa called it an endless ascent. An endless ascent into his glory. You're like, whoa, that is like.
Well, I think also this is the tension that we have in our lives because we have our natural lives that we weigh things against because we live in it constantly, right? And so here you have God who has already, when you've come to him, he's already provided everything you ever will get.
Right.
Like it's already there, right? And now how we access and all those details that we may or may not talk about today, but the reality is it's there. Now that can seem very ethereal to somebody listening today because they have a lack in their life and like, oh, I wish I had this and those people have that, you know, start comparing all that. But the reality is that, you know, he's already provided himself. And this is the thing, and this is the tension, because when it all gets stripped away, you know, we have this song that we sing once, like, strip it all away to live, all I have is you. It's like, I have a hard time singing that song personally. You know, I'm like, really, God?
Like, those lyrics, you're like,
yes, don't strip anything
I'm
else
not gonna
away.
Say that.
You know, and but it's so funny. But the reality is that if we lost everything, we still have him,
right?
Which is everything.
Which is everything.
So it's really a matter of our perspective. Now, like I said, here's the tension. We live in life.
Right.
We weigh things against our lives, or against our physical life, our mental life. Sometimes we confuse that with our spiritual life also. But we, you know, it's in our life. It's our day to day and how we deal with people and think, you know, are we received or not received? Are we, it's all of life. Or what do I have? Oh, I don't have this, but they have that. You know, that's the comparison thing that doesn't have wisdom associated with it. And so, but we have to deal with that. That's a the reality of understanding the abundant life, is that somewhere, it can't just be ethereal. You have to step in and go, I actually have everything I need right this moment in him. It keeps us locked to him. So that whatever loss you suffer, whatever gain you think you get, it's all in the context that it's his abundant life.
That's right. Yeah.
And so what that does, it makes us enter into a place of satisfied, right? Content.
Contentment.
You know, and so there's a great gain when there's godliness with that, right? Obviously. And so everything else is striving. Like, I need that. I must have that. I see that in somebody I have. And by the way, I know in life, people have used that to subjugate other people.
Right.
You just be content where you're at. You know, that's all God's given. You know, that kind of stuff. And, you know, I'm, you know, God chose me to be rich and you to be poor, and, you know, or you to pay my stuff to me. You know, people have used it, right? If we're reality, reality, it works that way, okay? But that's not how it actually is in God.
Right.
And someday everything's going to be even. God's going to, everything will come to pass. It's like, God's like, yeah, let's make all this right, here, the playing field.
When the man comes around.
Oh, you got to pay the man.
I like what you're saying there. What's coming to mind for me, Pastor Bob, is, you know, a lot of times you were talking about, you know, the reality we live in and, and our natural, you know, our natural earth life experience, which should be different for the Christian, or we should be growing into understanding the difference.
I've heard.
Right?
So I've heard.
I saw that on a t-shirt yesterday.
Should be.
I have all things.
But oftentimes I believe like the biblical, when we read about God's abundance, we're not looking at it from an eternal perspective. We're looking at it from a temporal perspective, and we are looking at it in actually more of just a monetary perspective. Like, do I have more?
Right.
Or do I have more possessions? Or do I have, where's my extra, you know, X amount of dollars per month, blah, blah, blah. And while that is a small part, I'll say it's part, but it's a small part of God's abundance. And we relegate it oftentimes to right. that. And I believe that's where the enemy jumps on board and goes, yeah, that's what it's all about.
Right.
That's what his abundance is all about. His abundance is just about you having, you know, this item, that car, that house, that this, that these, all these niceties in society. While God does want you to be fruitful, he does want you to, you know, there for there to be a bounty, there for you to be prosperous, meaning successful in what you intend to do as unto the Lord first, obviously. Yes, he does, but that's not the only abundance he's talking mm-hmm. about. Matter of fact, that's not actually what abundance means. Some people equate mm-hmm. abundance to wealth or stuff. Riches.
Yeah.
They think it means yeah. wealth and riches. And it's like, no, abundance means an overflow of what's like, if I have my essential items that I mm-hmm. need to live life, God gives me more than that. Mm-hmm. And also we see this in the parable of the talents, right? To right. one was given five, one was given two, one was given one. This abundance is completely about stewardship in my mind mm-hmm. because he will release to you more as you prove that you can steward the abundance that he gives you. Mm-hmm. He expects you when he gives you abundance for you to grow it and to do better with it. Mm-hmm. And then again, that's not, that does parlay to our natural life. It does connect right. to our natural life, but he's saying this more in the spirit realm. Like when he's talking to his disciples and he says, freely you have been given, mm-hmm. freely give. That's a statement of abundance. I've given to you freely. I've poured out upon you freely. I've trained you. I've taught you. Now go into the world and give, mm-hmm. give, give. He was not saying go make people millionaires. Mm-hmm. He was saying give them eternal life, something mm-hmm. that's far better than any monetary amount. Mm-hmm. If you had all the money in the world and all the power and all the glory in the world, you still could miss out on his abundance.
Well, I think there's a issue there where what we forget about when we hear abundance and mm-hmm. talk about stuff, we immediately go to those natural,
sure.
you know, things we've assembled and gotten to get brought to ourselves or maybe God's blessed with. But also there are people. Mm-hmm. Like, see, that's the whole deal. We miss the thing that the body of Christ, that
right.
God's, you know, people, he came for people.
Right.
And so what he's really given us also, the abundance he's given us a world of, you know, 8 billion people who we are supposed to also steward and also give to them.
Yes.
Like bring, I mean, so we don't look at people a lot of times as something God's given us. Mm. We look at it as, well, they're taking from us. No. I have to supply for them. I have to give them. And I think even people in ministry feel that a lot sometimes. Like, mm-hmm. oh, I'm like burning out for these people. It's like, no, you were designed wow. because God gave them to you to care for their lives. Am I my brother's mm-hmm. keeper? Yes.
You are.
Exactly that. Yes. Exactly that. And by the way, I gave him to you. To care for. And so you're,
we kept him 6 feet under.
But. Yes. He cared for him. All right.
It wasn't really the way he was supposed to care for
like,
him.
I buried him in the ground. No, it was like one of the talents, right? Oh, yeah. I buried that guy too. Oh, but yeah, it's a hard one. But the reality is that we have to understand that. Like we tend to think of the abundance that God's blessed us with
right.
has only to do with like tangible, you know, money and sure, stuff and sure. things. And that's like a part of it. I get that. That's not it. We have to see each other as, you know, that's God's blessing in our life.
Right.
That's
right.
what he's given to us to that's care good. For or yeah. else we miss the whole thing.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Why did he come?
Yeah. You won't be able to enjoy the little things, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, there's days that my kids are a lot to handle, and I'm just like, oh, I gotta, you know, get them to bed, you know, get them to bed.
Yes.
And I'm just like, no, that is not, it's exactly what you're saying. Is like, yeah. if we can't enjoy the people that we've been put with and see them for who they are in God and enjoy taking care of our house and our car and, you know, the abundance that he's given us, we're totally missing it. We're just like, you know, even if all I have, if I'm single and I like I used to be, and I'm sharing a room and I have a mm-hmm. microwave, that's like, that's my life. You know, I'm going to steward this microwave and put a frozen burrito in it. You know? Like I have to enjoy this, you know, there's a way that we can be with the Lord in that. and actually say, like, this is where I'm at. And look, I have all this capability because I can pray. And I can, like, there's so many stages in our life where we're lacking something. We think we're lacking it, but it's actually a provision if we see it with the right eyes. Because, you know, the Lord is teaching us in every season, in every state, how to abound.
Right. It's an abundant provision.
Right. That's right.
And it's abounding. If we're not abounding, we're probably in our own mindset and our own flesh and our own expectations.
Yeah.
Of how things are supposed to be.
Right.
Yeah. And it's like, and like you said, then people can become an irritation or a burden instead of like, okay, well, God is not really so much about, let's just take care of all these sheep, put them to bed, clean them up, and then we'll get back to our heaven stuff.
Right.
He's like, he actually loves the relationality. You and I were talking about this a little bit beyond. Like God's not like, I want to move on to this other universe with the really smart beings that I can talk to. He actually just likes dwelling with his earthly kids on the earth in our dirt and our mess and everything like that. He likes that. And you're like, that's weird that he likes that. I hope I can become like that. You know, because if I did, you could really enjoy everything about life.
Right.
And the things that used to be hell to you would actually become abundant life.
Right.
That's going deep now. Now we're going to the deep end of this. But the issue with our thinking abundance is strictly natural stuff or monetary and things like that is that then we will set our affection on those things.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden our affection totally comes off of Jesus and his Christ here in the earth. Mm-hmm. Right? Because we want to separate the two. I'm totally in love with God.
Right.
I hate his people. Right? I mean, come on. It's like, really? How do you do that? Mm-hmm. Like, that's not possible. It's not, you know. And so,
it's but like the Superman's dad, the disembodied head.
Right.
My son.
Disembodied.
I just love the disembodied head.
Did somebody pay you to throw in the Superman? What's happening here, David?
That was the really old Superman, not the new one.
I thought maybe he was like, somebody had like, you know, maybe we can get like,
Your ad here.
I am open to that if anybody wants to pay me to do that.
Right. You know, no, you're cool. Going to see now. We should stop the podcast stops and the ad comes on. David, you did it. You
give
made us your millions of dollars.
Give your abundance to David.
Hey, you know what? I'll steward that. I'll steward it well.
Everybody should go out and watch Superman there.
Right. But I cut off a good point you're making about caring for the Christ in the earth. That was good.
Absolutely.
You know, there's no division.
And so but I think what happens is, and I mentioned earlier, is that all of a sudden your affections go on natural things completely. Yeah. Like that's your love, the love of money. You know, it's the money's good. Mm-hmm. the stuff is good. He's provided. Mm-hmm. The love of it ain't so hot.
Right.
I mean, sure. Let's be real, because then all of your affection's there. Mm.
Yeah, Satan used to own all the kingdoms of the world, and he was still bummed out. He was still consumed with rage. Like, I don't want to be like
enough.
Satan, you know?
It's just not enough.
Well, I want to add to what you were saying there, Dad, and make a point. You know, there was the account of the parable again, or maybe it was an actual account, I believe. But there was a woman who brought out of her lack. Mm. She brought the least and she put in the most.
Yeah.
But somebody who came and gave out of their abundance was, you know, they still didn't give enough. So what I'm saying is, like, I think there's some people out there that need to hear, like, look, cars, boats, all these other natural things. There's always going to have somebody. I love Pastor Mike, you know, used to say this always. There's somebody around the block that's bigger, better, has more money, has more this. There's always somebody who has more.
Right.
That's just gonna how it is. But we're not trying to, like, in our natural life, we're not trying to match. We're not trying to catch up with the Joneses, so to speak. It has nothing to do with that.
Kardashians.
God will provide for you as we steward, right? This is all according to his will. This isn't, you know, this is according to what he's already outlined for us, so that we need to steward well. We need to take care of what he has given us so that he can entrust more to us. And as he entrusts more to us, he's not just giving that to us for our own solo, you know, individual, like, I'm just going to live in my little island by myself consumption. Mm-hmm. He's actually giving that to you in a spiritual sense now, for you to go out and administer or provide that and give to other people. And that might be some of your natural, you know, abundance, your natural wealth or time or what have you. But more of it is really of a spiritual abundance, to where we're giving to people. You know what most people need nowadays? I heard Pastor Liz say it the other day. Most people need somebody who will actually stand with them and walk with them.
Absolutely.
They need someone who will be closer than a brother. They need someone who will be there that they can call when they're in their time of need and distress. Mm-hmm. And what happens right now is we have an isolated type of society where you have to go and get and attain all these things all by yourself. Mm. Otherwise, you're not anything. Right. And it's such a falsehood. You know, we opened the podcast talking about the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He absolutely wants to steal the abundance, not just the abundant life. He wants to steal the actual life. Yeah. And make it unsuccessful and unfruitful. Mm-hmm. And so part of the challenge here is to remember that, look, God is not just talking about natural things. He's talking about spiritual things. Life and life more abundantly is a spiritual. There's a spiritual context to what he's saying there.
Yes.
Absolutely saying. And so maybe you don't have a lot. I believe this is for somebody today. Maybe you don't think you have a lot. Maybe you're still waiting for additional provision or favor or job or what have you. But in the meantime, while you're waiting for that provision from the Lord, that abundance from the Lord, monetarily or in the natural, you can give supernaturally from the Word of God, from your time, from your heart. You can give and freely give because you have freely received. That's what he's trying to orient our minds towards, is that we learn to just give freely, to love on each other, walk with a brother or sister. You know, it doesn't matter how much money you have in the world, you can walk with somebody.
Absolutely. You know, something the Holy Spirit just spoke to me. It was interesting. I'll run it by. Maybe it's true.
Well, George can tell
George
if it's true.
George can tell if it's true. Yeah, right.
Here comes the edit.
But I was thinking in terms of the thief comes to, you know, steal, rob, you know. We understand that the thief has no power over us, right? Because we belong to him. We're in him. The power he has, the exercises, is to convince us of something, to act differently than who we actually are.
That's right.
Right, to operate differently, to steward differently.
So far, so good.
So far, so good. I'm okay with this. The thought that came to my mind is like a spiritual, hoarders, where they hoard, well, natural hoarders. Mm. Like there's it doesn't matter how much they have, they're going to keep. They can't, they're afraid to give, right? Now, spiritual hoarder is afraid to give of their time, you know, their life to others, to pour out their life to others, which God didn't create us to be spiritual hoarders. You know, it's just me and Jesus. You know what I'm saying? And he's actually made us to pour to other people into their lives and to spend time with them. Like you were saying earlier, like Pastor Liz had mentioned, that, you know, will you walk with somebody? Well, that means it takes some time. You know, Jesus walked with his guys for 3 years. There aren't, I mean, you can read through all of his actions in about, you know, I don't know, an hour. Maybe you can go across all of them, you know, an hour of 3 years worth of life and 12 guys and a whole bunch of other people following along. I mean, there was a little bit more that went on. And so there was a pouring out, a giving. And we can become spiritual hoarders. We're like, oh no, I got to hold on to that. I'm this. I got to hold on to my time and not give it to someone. And because we think you know what will happen then? You'll just die rich. You'll die with a bunch of stuff. And you might just die with your whole life, all your stuff, all the spiritual component of your life, all, when I say rich, all like dug in there,
right?
All just left there. But it wasn't designed to just stay there.
Right.
It was always designed to pour out.
Wow. This, you know, this night your soul is required of you, and these barns full of riches, whose will they be?
Right.
Right. I was thinking too, even in terms of the good news, the gospel, I actually have heard preachers say like, oh, I got this revelation of how much God loves us and the finished work of Jesus. And I had to sit on it for 5 or 6 years till I really saw the fruit that it bore in my life. And I was ready to, and the Holy Spirit told me not to preach this and all that. I'm like, are you serious, dude? Like Jesus rescued a guy from being a demoniac and he sent him to preach the gospel immediately.
To a whole town.
I'm like, if you really have the revelation, why don't you tell somebody that Jesus saved him? Why don't you go like give it? You know, like what is all this? Oh, I'm going to wait till it's perfect.
What's all that about?
Yeah.
Abundance is actually gushing out of you.
Mm-hmm.
You can't contain that. Mm-hmm. Paul said it's a fire in my bones, or Jeremiah did actually.
Right, right.
To get it right, you know, it's Jeremiah is like, I'm gonna
wait,
say
David
this,
made
you
a
know.
Mistake here on
noted 8:21.
Hey, you know what? Right? Not under the law, under grace. Okay, under grace, under the Holy Spirit. All right. No, but I think it's so important just to realize that, you know, what you're saying is like, yeah, just the abundance that is bursting out of us for other people. And mm-hmm. it's our free will to give it to somebody. Mm-hmm. Jesus goes on in that passage. He says, no one takes my life from me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority mm-hmm. to take it back up. He never did anything out of an obligation, or he never did right. anything grudgingly. Right. I gotta, you know, he was there's things he did that was hard. Mm-hmm. But his will was totally conformed to Father God.
Right.
And so he's like, nobody's making me die for you people.
Right.
I'm doing that because mm-hmm. I love you. I have such an abundant life that I right. can pour it out, mm-hmm. you know?
And he and it's reiterated joy that to Pilate do it. Too, right? Uh-huh. Like he was like making that same statement. Like just
you don't have authority.
You don't got this. I got this.
I got it.
Well, see, I hope that we as Christians can see that about the enemy who God said would come and try to steal and mm-hmm. destroy mm-hmm. that he actually doesn't have that power to you have right. to like give that to him.
Right.
You hear what I'm saying? And there's, you know, I, like you were saying earlier, I think there are people listening possibly now, mm-hmm. hopefully they're still in here, but they're that, are need to hear that like you already have the full mm-hmm. abundance in your life to give. Mm-hmm. At whatever level you're at. Yeah. I don't care. Right. I don't care if you think you're a homeless person living in your car.
Mm-hmm.
That never, you know, I think Jesus was homeless. Wait a minute. Hold on a second.
Right.
We'll try this phrase. Someone gave me this in a prophetic word. Just because you don't have something doesn't mean you can't give it.
Right.
Right.
I was like, whoa, you know, I really had to meditate on that one, because there's times it's so true. There's times I've just felt completely wasted. Like I can't do anything for anybody. I'm in such brokenness. Mm-hmm. I need somebody to be nice to me. I need somebody to come over and give me a big hug and pray for me. And the Lord's like, he shows me a picture. You're going to go up and start praying for other people.
Yeah.
I'm like, no. And, but I'm like, wait a minute. Okay, you know, and like by the Holy Spirit, you can do it, and like, and God actually refreshes you through doing that,
mm-hmm.
through that inner spring that never runs dry of Holy Spirit,
that. Mm-hmm.
And that is not an emotional spring. That mm-hmm. abundance is not an emotional abundance. I think it has really good emotional effects. We shouldn't minimize that,
right?
But it doesn't begin in the emotion.
Yeah,
and we've said this a lot, but I mean, it's important to reiterate that.
I remember the scripture. He says, "My words to your spirit, and they are life."
Oh.
It all generates from the spirit. You know, when we started this, again, I've come that you might have life, new spirit, and life more abundantly. That new spirit is a life-giving spirit. It's a Amen. Wellspring of life, and it's meant to permeate and overflow or gush out Amen. Into every aspect of who we are as an individual, into our soul, into our emotions, into our will, the way that we think through things. It's the thing that will help cleanse our life. That all comes from reading or partaking of the Word of God, but that's really like walking with Christ.
Yeah.
When you read the Bible, just in case you didn't know, you are walking with Jesus, right? You're not just reading words on a page. Mm-hmm. You're actually beholding him. You're learning about him.
Mm-hmm.
You're seeing him as the disciples saw him. I mean, we don't see him in the natural per se. We do see him in each other. And that's why we need to be able to discern the body. So everything that he's given, like Dad quoted earlier, everything in this life but pertains to life and godliness, he has already provided.
Mm-hmm.
And so we need to remember it's spirit first. It's not soul natural first. It's spirit first, and let that abundant life come up. I know that sounds really supernatural, and as Dad says, ethereal.
It's spiritual.
It's spiritual. Well, that's the thing, is the word abundance, when Jesus is speaking about it, is spiritual. It takes faith to activate. It takes faith to stand on, and then you have to take your faith and put it into action. Mm-hmm. So it's like you said, David, I don't feel, quote, that I have so much to give, or I feel burned out. Well, great. Your soul is tired. Your mm-hmm. soul and your mind are overwhelmed.
Body.
But yet you have a new spirit that you can say, I feel this way, but here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go.
But it's that gushing out too. And a lot of times we can get stuck on, like you were saying, my spirit mm-hmm. is speaking to my soul. It's, you know, it's overflowing. It's mm-hmm. magnificent overflowing. But the reality is God's like, it can't be stuck there.
Yes.
Because if out of your innermost being shall gush, if right. you will flow, rivers of living water. Well, it's getting a little bit past you. That's right. what I'm saying. Right? right. It's like, he's like, yeah, you're getting watered in this, but yeah. actually yeah. you have to gush out and water everybody else. Mm-hmm. Like this is the deal. It just, mm-hmm. when you were saying that, don't ask me, but I immediately went back to my childhood in New York City.
Okay.
And we Take used to, in the, yeah, in the, story time, everybody. Story time.
You know, it was a muggy morning in Harlem. Morning. It was hard, yeah. The flies were out. Right.
On a cold and gray.
The dogs were howling in the alleys.
But Gosh. The but the funny thing was the
soft siren. Of
we used to open up the fire hydrants
right
in the summer. This yeah. really hot.
Yeah.
I mean, it was against the law and all that, but we'd opened them up and we had little wrenches we had, and you get a can and cut both ends of like a beer can shove it against that gushing water uh-huh. and it would go everywhere.
Yeah.
Like everybody got wet. Okay. And so that when you said it, it brought me back to that visual. It's like you were actually designed to gush all over like everybody and everything around you and fill it up. Mm. Like, all right. So now people are, they have to swim.
It'll be almost like your shadow would be healing people.
Kind of like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your aura, like the good aura.
Yeah. So if we get, like I said, if we get stuck with, this is just for me and just for me to be, it's like you have to go past that sooner or later. Yeah.
Well, it goes back to this idea of life in the spirit. It's supposed to be like we receive it completely by faith, right? So it's not by any sort of works of the law, but by hearing with faith. Right. And you go like, I'm not trying to look at my life and say, this looks abundant. This isn't abundant. How can this become abundant? Mm-hmm. You're like, I have a hyper abounding grace in me. I mean, this word for abundant, for abundance, it's super abound. And then Paul uses that root in Romans 5 to say where sin abounded, grace abounded, but then he adds hyper.
Hyper, yeah. right.
So it's like, it's exactly what Bob is saying, of like this, the Holy Spirit's empowering presence is grace.
Mm. Yeah.
And he's like, you're like, when I receive that as my identity and my fullness, I go, this is who I am. I don't, I used the scripture last night in a teaching, but I don't have to reach up to heaven to yank Jesus down. I don't have to reach into hell to yank him up. He's in me. This is my reality. And if I open up the spigot, I just go, all right, Lord, let's start touching people. Let's start smiling at people.
This is why received it. Grace for grace. I mean, we received it for its
grace upon grace.
To go out. And right, not because it's easy, like I said, to become a spiritual hoarder. This is my stuff, my thing. This is my relationship with God. And I get that. I understand that we must have a relationship with God.
For
we
sure.
must have that we has to be intimacy and closeness but it's not designed to die there.
Right.
Or else, like I said, you'll just die wealthy.
Sure.
Yeah. And meanwhile, God's not coming back for an individual.
Right.
Right. He's coming back for a glorious church. That's a super abounding, flooding everything around it church. Well, that's the people. Mm-hmm. That's everybody. That's not just, it's not the pastor, even though I'm sorry, JT, we made you a pastor and now I'm down.
A little P.
Downgraded
a little pastor. I just downgraded you.
Okay. We stripped it.
I'll make you Pope. I know.
Take everything.
Monsignor. Jeremiah. Monsignor Tasco.
Monsignor.
Yeah.
You failed as a pastor. You've been a pastor for 5 minutes and you're ready. Okay.
You'll get the shortest assignment ever.
Right.
That's fine.
It was so good.
To me, I'm just putting some pieces together because it's all linked to generosity. Mm-hmm. And like, this is the life of the apostles. It's like they had everything in common. Mm-hmm. They laid it at the apostles' feet. We're pouring out and getting poured back into. 2 Corinthians 8:9, he's like, when you give, your blessing's gonna abound. Like you're sowing, you're gonna reap all this stuff. That's not like you said, it's not a strange person saying, sow into my ministry. It's not, no, I'm actually just freely receive, freely give. And that could be concrete physical things. Mm-hmm. That can be time, can be emotions. But if that's not happening, you're stagnating. We've made this point before, but it's like you taking that step to open the spigot is really what we're doing. It's like, I have to start giving
And that is the Holy Spirit's like, oh, all right, cool. Now we're flowing.
Yeah.
Right. I think if you're doing that just to check boxes like I gave, it's not that.
No.
Because the spigot isn't open. You're just like, beep, opened up, closed. Mm-hmm. You know, a little drip came out. Mm-hmm. It's supposed to be a flowing.
You have 10.00%.
Right.
Yeah.
Of David, my gross.
I think you should start tithing to me.
That's a good idea.
And then I'll let you know.
You just increased your abundance.
I just abundance. Thank you, Lord.
You've been holding my abundance right. for me.
Wait a minute. I got to find somebody that's richer than David.
That'd be a good idea.
10% of zero is like not too good.
Zero or negative.
I have to give you 10%. Yeah.
I like what you said, David. I agree. There's this aspect of thanksgiving that is thanking God for the abundance and especially of a supernatural nature. When you were saying that a moment ago, what you were seeing, I really sense the Holy Spirit. Like, I'm going to say it this way, that the Lord really wants us to celebrate what he has already given to us because out of that will be that hydrate, that fire hydrant explosion, right? Yeah. When you were saying that, I was beginning to feel like, wow, I'm so overjoyed and an overflow of joy and thanksgiving for what God has done for us. Because it has zero to do with our earthly possessions. It has nothing to do with it. What he did for us was not to secure a better life for us, per se, here on the earth. It was to secure an eternal life with him when he comes back to the earth. Mm-hmm. That's the ultimate plan and purpose. And so remembering that today and celebrating that, and then, you know, if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, that's part of the other reason why he said out of your innermost being will flow, was because of the Spirit is enabling. Mm-hmm. And that is also an abundance, right? He gave us a new spirit and then he put his spirit in us. Mm-hmm. And he wanted us to have an overflow, constant overflow. That's why he says, be filled with the Spirit. That means to allow the things of the Spirit to continually fill your life, fill your mind, fill your heart into an overflowing state to where you just can't help yourself. I'm thinking of key people in our church that just can't help themselves but share Christ.
Yeah.
And you don't have to be called in as evangelist to do that. You just have to express your gratitude, your thanksgiving to God for what he has secured for you eternally, and then begin to express that out and let that water gush out and explode out onto other people. Because there, I'm just going to prophesy right now, there are so many thirsty people.
Yeah.
There are so many that are hungry and thirsting, and they don't even know. They just know they need water. They're walking around in a dry and dreary land, and you know, we could sure offer them a little bit of help with resources. We could, you know, walk next to them, but they need the waters of life, and he gave to us freely, so we must in turn give freely to those around us.
Good.
Yeah, how are you going to draw water? Where's your bucket? John 4, right?
Right.
People are like, I got my bucket. It doesn't hold enough. He's like, well, in you, there's going to be a spring of living waters.
Yeah.
And the lady goes, well, I got to tell everybody about this.
Right.
This is exactly what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah. A woman that was never loved, a woman that was cast away five times. And he's like, I'll give you the living water. Yeah. You know, that she never heard that from a man before, you know, and it was just, That's what moves us is, you know, it says God's love, Abba's love has been shed abroad in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. The fire hydrant's been opened in our heart. It's not some idea of like, I have this substance of Holy Spirit that I have to give out. You know, it's the substance of that is the love of God.
Yeah.
And so we always have to know that Father is unconditionally loving us, agape. You know, and like to me, that's like always comes back to that. It's just like anything else is an inferior understanding. I know it's a bold statement, but if you are not actually receiving that from your Father and just like everything that he wants to give you, you know, it's God provides us with everything richly to enjoy.
Yes.
That's his heart to enjoy. Oh, be ashamed of what you have. No way. It's to enjoy.
Yeah.
I know that kind of threatens some sacrifice mentalities, you know, but it's like, man, I enjoy it so much. I want other people to have it. And this is a spontaneity. It's a flow of the Holy Spirit that, you know, by striving and trying to like oh, I need to get the abundant life. Someone said, I think you said that, by striving, mm-hmm. we're not going to flow in striving. You're not going to crack a joke when you're striving. You're right. not going to get an artistic breakthrough when you're striving.
Right.
You're not going to have a healthy relationship when you're trying to force that. You're just not going to strive for the things that really matter.
Right.
You know, it's going to flow from the love of God.
Yeah. It's one of the that's one of the go-to lies on striving, real quick. That's one of the go-to lies of the enemy. Yeah. And that's how he convinced Eve and Adam to sin, is because they reached out for something that the enemy made them think was something that would bring them closer to God, mm-hmm. or make them like him. And it was a deception. Mm-hmm. And so it's in the same way, you know, we think oftentimes that attaining certain things or certain status or certain likes or influence or whatever, all this stuff, like, sure, the Lord may be helping you to get there. But if the goal is to reach these things because you think that's what God, that's the way that you can connect to people, mm-hmm. and transfer this eternal life, we got to be careful of that.
Well, I think Adam and Eve had the issue there too, mm-hmm. is that the enemy was offering something to them they already had.
Yeah.
They just, you know what I'm saying? So he convinced them that they didn't have this.
Right.
They had, like you said earlier, full, complete relationship with the God of the universe.
Yep.
All knowledge, all understanding, all everything.
Unhindered.
Yep. Glory. It wasn't, yep. you know, and then, you know, it's like they had full access to everything. Then mm-hmm. he was like, hey, you need more access. Mm-hmm. You need more stuff.
You have something missing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So this is his where he brings his counterfeit in, mm-hmm. right? He was bringing super abundant, more, you know, right. more knowledge. Mm-hmm. It's like, wait. You're locked. You're walking with knowledge. you're talking with him on a regular basis. He's with you, in you, and through you. And you're, mm-hmm. you know, but you need more. And he's like, right. wow, you really missed this one then.
Well, and then he's like, the idea is the one thing you don't have is what God's going to withhold from you.
Right.
Right. Not, hey, as you develop and you mature, you're going to understand the knowledge of good and evil. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
God's not going to ultimately withhold anything from you.
Well, the other thing too, and I know we've mentioned this before. I remember when it hit me a while back, mm-hmm. you know, God gave them, okay, mm-hmm. he commanded them to take care of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil.
Right.
Like they had to care for it, mm-hmm. you know, water it, whatever they had to do back sure, then. I sure. don't know. But they were the caretakers mm-hmm. of that thing. It wasn't like they didn't have access there or could, you know, mm-hmm. they were fully vested in there. It wasn't like God was keeping something from them, really.
God didn't build a fence around the fence. Mm-mm.
No fence around, exactly.
It's legalism, right?
It's like, no, it's there. And matter of fact, you have to care for it. Mm-hmm. But in other words, you have to steward it
right.
properly. Just like in our lives, whatever God gives us, and he may give us a lot of things. Mm-hmm. He can give us wealth
sure.
that can become the knowledge, you know, the tree of the knowledge of good sure. and evil. Oh, just yeah. the, you know, just depends hey. When you start worshiping hey. It or not.
Okay.
But he's like, no, you need to steward that, manage mm-hmm. that. And sometimes you need to give it away. And sometimes mm-hmm. you have to, you know, whatever, you need to be led Ooh. By me in mm-hmm. this. And I've told you, okay, go take care of this.
Right.
I didn't Ooh, say, they, you know, they, don't take care of it. I don't yeah. need it right now.
Right.
Don't, you know, you're still taking care of it.
Right.
Yeah, and that's yeah. Wild. Yeah. That's the hireling mentality too. Of I can't right. care for something without feasting on it,
right?
You know, and so Jesus is talking about that. The hireling, he's not there because he loves mm-hmm. the sheep. He wants to benefit. You know, mm-hmm. he can't care for these sheep out of love. It's just like, mm-hmm. man, I'm not in this for God or for the good of the sheep or for anything. It's yeah. it's for me. Mm-hmm. You know, and Adam and Eve, they're supposed to be. He's trying to teach them care for something, you know, out of love for God,
right?
Not just because you're going to get something you're missing.
Right.
Right. And by the way, they were charged with caring for the tree of life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like him. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so, you know, there's this total connection yeah. with him. Like they were already fully in him and mm-hmm. with him and partake of that all the time. Mm. Well, I mean, that was the deal. Mm-hmm. So imagine, I can imagine, well, we can't imagine. Like we have Holy Spirit in us and he's, you know, we're his mm-hmm. and we partake of him mm-hmm. all the time.
Yeah.
And he's like, you should care for that. You should take that care of that. Care that should, that, the other much. Stuff, maybe you want to skip a little.
Maybe,
you know,
but maybe not as important.
Maybe not as important. But it looks shiny and fun.
Yeah. Well, do we want to have one hard question at the end? I'll give it to you guys.
Is this the end?
Serve it up.
Oh, my gosh.
At the end.
You mean like
so
the
somebody's
end?
Really, really suffering and they're hearing this. Somebody's just going, they're going through sickness or death or a tragedy. Maybe they're a persecuted Christian hearing this. You know, God's abundant. Like, you know, how would you speak to that? You know, they probably, if they're being persecuted, they already know that through the grace of God being with them. Mm-hmm. But I don't know, somebody that's just, that's suffering, how would God be abundant for that person? Or, you know, is it a season where they're not going to experience abundant life? Or is it, you know, I'm just kind of thinking like pastorally.
I think that's a good question.
Yeah, does anybody want to jump in on that?
I mean, the first thing I would say is they need to go find somebody that will walk with them through this. For us to sit here and go, we have a magic wand, we're going to wave it, and all of that's going to go away. Well, God didn't promise that, right? I mean, in this life, we have stuff.
Yeah.
And everybody's in the process of dying.
Yeah.
You know, in different realms. And taking on life at the same time. So we don't know. Nobody knows the end of their story, even when they're suffering. Right. And we, you know, all of us have different things going on physically, and we suffer in different ways, sometimes quietly alone. Mm-hmm. But if you could, my recommendation, this is, I don't know everybody is going through this, is to lean into people who are givers, that are giving of their time and life with you. And maybe all they can do is walk with you. Maybe that's it. That's all that's going to happen. Like, or maybe God will do a miracle and just heal you. I mean, why not? Okay, like, why not? I don't want to give you a false hope. I want to give you a real hope.
Right.
Right?
Gospel
and,
hope.
Yeah, gospel hope. And there is something beyond this life. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What that is like, we're just all guessing, but there's something beyond this life, whether it's when Jesus comes back or when we go to him,
right?
But there's something. And so this is a, you know, we're like pilgrims, and, you know, we're kind of sojourning in this life, and then we're going to be with him sooner or later, eternally. Mm-hmm. One way or the other.
Yeah.
And so, but right now, I would say, just speaking to someone, because I hear you, David, that, you know, they're suffering, and but don't suffer alone. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, let somebody walk with you. And I know it's pretty simple. It's pretty easy to, like, shrink back and isolate and, like, I'm just suffering. And then what you'll rely on is, you know, some flavors of medication, right? And some might be okay in certain situations. Sure. I get that. Or some, you know, you're going to go crazy and kill yourself in the process. But the reality is, you should, if you have somebody in your life helping your life, walk with your life through this, someone other than just you in your hurt,
right?
Your pain, that's a more abundant life.
Yeah.
That's how I was going to put it. Like, that is that, that, and also in your pain, in your suffering, believe it or not, you are still able.
That's right.
To minister to, you're still flowing from your, your being is ability to minister.
Right.
And I mean, I know this from, David mentioned just briefly, we've all experienced this, going through hard suffering issues, losses, like you did with your son, you know, physical things. Also, everybody goes through things that are hard things, and sometimes people don't even know it's happening.
Sure.
Yeah.
But in that, God will, like, he'll tap on you, like, you still must give. And I think that's what we're talking about here today. So I'm not saying ignore or make believe your pain isn't real.
Of course.
That's foolishness. No, as a matter of fact, Father, just touch anyone who has peace right now, Father, in Jesus' name. Just touch their lives with your presence and your healing. Strengthen them in Jesus' name. And I pray, Father, if they're walking in isolation, Father, that you, Father God, would just prod them to step out of that prison. In Jesus' name, I pray. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Yeah. Well, we'll close with that, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you for joining us. Be sure to subscribe to get the latest episode. And for more information, visit spiritschoolofministry.com.